Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Live today, Bridgestone Arena, where they're going to have a hockey game today. Hey, congratulations to Bridgestone Arena for actually being able to host a hockey game today, considering what happened over the weekend.
What a mess.
Let me tell you, I was worried, not about today. I was worried about Saturday, because I was supposed to go to the game Saturday. And I was worried that I was going to end up having to go to something like the Nutcracker or something even worse on Saturday to fill the void of no game. So thank goodness that they got this arena up and rolling, and the Predators game day is presented by Social Furniture. Shop local, shop social. Social Furniture, why go anywhere else? And don't forget, shop today during their Black Friday sale for a limited time and take an extra 20% off. Caroline is here today. So let's start on the Titans and the Bengals. Ian is here today too, by the way. Ian, how are you?
What up, what up?
Okay, let's start with the Titans and the Bengals, because I just have one question that I want everybody to decide right here and now, and that includes the callers and everybody else. Did the Titans lose because the Titans cost themselves the game, or did the Titans lose because they don't have the horses to compete with the Bengals? Binary choice. Did they lose because they did it to themselves, whether it was all kinds of different, debacle, whatever this, the special teams errors, the trouble in the red zone, the fact that they couldn't do anything on defense, all the things that we went over all day yesterday, was it that they did to themselves, or was it that they don't have the horses to compete with Cincinnati?
They did it to themselves.
You don't think it was a Cincinnati thing?
No, because I don't view Cincinnati as one of those teams like the Buffalo Bills or the Eagles, a team that's just totally stacked with a bunch of talent. The Bengals have plenty of talent. They've got good players. But I don't think that the Bengals have a roster that is overly intimidating. Yeah, they have a better quarterback. But, I mean, I look at the Titans, and it was the missed field goal, and it was the missed opportunities in the red zone. And you could say, oh, well, the missed opportunities at the red zone, though, wouldn't have happened if you had better players. Well, the Titans have been one of the best red zone teams in the NFL all season long. So I say the Titans did it to themselves because they didn't take advantage of the opportunities that they worked themselves into.
Ian, do you think that it was a horses, or do you think it was a Titans did it to themselves?
Part of me feels like it's a horses thing. But maybe that's because the Titans didn't have all theirs full go. I don't know. They didn't have Ja'Marr Chase, and they didn't have Mixon. So the Mixon, Chase, Higgins, Burrow combo is just better than the Titans combo as far as when you talk about offense and skilled position players. So that part does worry me.
Okay, so let's take them out, though. If it's Burrow, Pirine, Higgins, Hayden Hurst, is that stable of horses too much for the Titans to overcome, Ian?
I don't know. It feels like they would obviously they have more of a chance. I guess the wild card there is Burrow, but I think they would have a chance. Yeah, and they did have a chance.
So here's what I think. Phil Simms said this on Friday, and boy, you talk about a take and that take being right. Phil Simms said that whatever team gets to 21st was going to win the game. And the Bengals,
that is what happened,
got to 21st, and they won the game. So to me, I think the Titans did this to themselves. I do. I think that the red zone I go back to the red zone. Bob Shoup's going to be here at the top of next hour doing a full film breakdown. And I am going to be all over Bob, asking him about the play calling inside of the red zone. And not just the play calling, but the personnel choices. I mean, they throw a freaking screen or whatever you want to call that. I mean, it was basically offensive pass interference by Treylon Burks, and they didn't call it. But you throw that rubber out to Jeff Swaim, and yes, Tannehill missed, and it went over his hands a little bit, but at most, Jeff Swaim gets 4 yards. Why are you throwing the ball to Jeff Swaim inside the red zone first down and 10 at the 16-yard line? It's stupid.
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 When Treylon Burks is blocking for Jeff Swaim.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. And so, I mean, that is one thing I'm like, well, Cincinnati didn't dial up the call to Jeff Swaim. So that's your fault. Then I go back to the missed field goal from 35. And this is where the Phil Simms thing comes into play. Again, first team to 20. So if Caleb Shudak makes that field goal, now it's 13-10 going to the half and the Titans get the ball back. And now you only need a touchdown at any point in the second half in order to be the first team to get to 20. And so all the opportunities they had that they freaking blew, and they blew them. You know, they hit the ball to Burks down the field. They get to roughing the passer. And then all of a sudden, they call a second down play deep inside the red zone where they don't bring on a single pass catcher except for Hooper. And the other guys are Swaim and Rader and Henry and Hollister. And Bob even texted me on Sunday, and he said, oh, I knew that it was a run when I saw eight was the only wide receiver in the game. And so they did that to themselves with two of their three red zone opportunities. Then I thought, you know, again, Shudak missed it, so they did that to themselves. They hit the snapper, which everybody knows you can't do. They did that to themselves. I mean, some of me, like, I was a little torn today thinking about this, because part of me is like, hey, they hit that ball to T. Higgins, and I know, you know, there was some bitching afterwards about could it have been offensive pass interference. I mean, I think that was a great throw by Joe Burrow, but I really thought that was a great physical catch by T. Higgins. And I think T. Higgins is a really good player. And I was thinking about, you know, I was going to ask the question, did Vrabel lose the game or did Robinson lose the game? Because it's obvious that the poor drafting over the last couple of years, while they've been able to get by in some regards, you know, if they hadn't drafted Isaiah Wilson and they had drafted with a couple picks later T. Higgins, who went to the big, if they had T. Higgins and Corey Davis leaves in free agency and it's A.J. Brown and T. Higgins, then I feel pretty good about the Titans' pass-catching options, and I especially think it's better if T. Higgins isn't on their team and T. Higgins is on your team. And I just use that as an example. But I think it was a Vrabel thing.
It was a Vrabel thing.
I think the Titans did this to themselves. You know, and that, before you get to the poor tackling, you know, am I supposed to believe that Samaje Perine is just so good that the Titans couldn't get away from the tackling?
Well, he looked like it on Sunday.
But do I actually believe that?
I don't.
So, I mean,
and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but like when David Long Jr. just slides off the guy or doesn't take a good angle, or Amani Hooker, man, he stunk. You know, all those things happen. The Titans did this to themselves. I think that's the frustrating part, is the fact that deep down inside, nobody is going to listen to any. I mean, the only thing that matters is that the Titans are 0-3 against Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Kansas City. That's a real stat. Regardless of how many times we can parse why they lost each of those three games or how many excuses that we can make for them. But the Titans did this to themselves, and it frustrates me because while deep down inside I know the Titans hold themselves accountable inside the building, I wonder if maybe they've lost a little bit of that. If maybe that win over Green Bay, the Todd Downing thing, the lack of accountability with that, you know, if that's just played a role into the Titans just kind of losing their edge a little bit. And that's probably where they lost the game. They just, that's the frustrating part, is the lack of accountability, at least outwardly, with the Titans. I felt better when Vrabel said after the game, when he talked about the fact that he was like, you know, hey, well, you know, all four phases didn't play well, including coaching and special teams and offense and defense. And then he's out there making excuses for the kicker who missed a 35-yard kick. And we got people calling in yesterday talking about how apparently there was a wind gust that happened right as he went to approach the 35-yard ball and missed it off to the right. And I'm like, man, that is what losers say. And so I look back on it and I'm like, you know, everybody knows how much I love Joe Burrow. But, man, the Titans really screwed that one up. And it's like nobody cares that I can say, well, you know, Titans just didn't play well on Sunday. Nobody cares about that. Everybody's like, no, you're just not good enough. Derrick Henry didn't run the ball well enough. You just – and yet it does feel like the Titans did this to themselves. It does feel like the Titans, just like in the playoffs the last 2 years – it feels like the Titans are their own worst enemy sometimes, and that's frustrating, and it needs to stop.
And it feels like, too, you know, because while I do subscribe to the belief that the Titans are lacking talent in several different areas, pass catching being one of them, and they're injured in the defensive line, the Titans win games, and the Titans are tough in two specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive line, getting to the quarterback, and running the football. They couldn't do either of those things.
Well, you know why. You know why. Because the Titans get their toughness from whom?
Mike Vrabel.
Okay, so that goes to everybody on that field. Everybody that plays for the Titans, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's Andrew Adams, whether it's Dylan Cole, you know, guys that really aren't that good, but, you know, they
Andrew
do
Adams,
what they're supposed
though,
to do.
Give him his due.
I mean, he's fine. He's a practice squad guy.
He's fine.
You know, that's my point, though. Like, if you're good, you're not on a practice squad. So they went and got a practice squad guy. Dylan Cole's a practice squad guy. You know, these aren't 53-man roster guys. And they play better than they are, right?
Yep.
And it's because Vrabel toughens them up. Well, that works against almost every team in the league, but it does not work against Cincinnati. And it has not worked three times against Cincinnati. And you know why it doesn't work against Cincinnati?
Because Cincinnati is just as tough.
Why are they just as tough?
Joe Burrow.
Because that guy is as tough as Vrabel, if not tougher. And the toughness that he has transcends to everybody else on that team. So, I mean, I'm not saying the Titans are going to go to Philadelphia and win this week, but I'm not ruling it out either. Like, because I don't know if Philly is good at getting punched in the mouth. And I know AJ's not good at getting punched in the mouth. But with the Bengals, they don't care about that. The Bengals are one of the toughest teams in the league, and it's because of the quarterback they have, which then goes back to the original question, which is, okay, if the number one way the Titans win games is by out-toughing people, and they can't out-tough the Bengals, then did they lose because the Bengals had T. Higgins, and the Bengals had Joe Burrow, and the Bengals had Trey Hendrickson and DJ Rader, and you didn't? Just like how the Titans beat the Commanders. Now, I don't think the Commanders are an overly tough team, but the Titans beat the Commanders because they had Derrick Henry and Jeffrey Simmons, and Washington didn't. And then I ask this question. Titans-Bengals again at Nissan Stadium. We both picked the Titans this week. Who are you picking?
I have to pick the Bengals.
Ian, Titans-Bengals at Nissan Stadium. Let's say right now, if the playoffs started today, the wild card matchup would be Cincinnati at Tennessee. Who would you pick?
Cincinnati.
I think I'd pick Cincinnati too.
I think we have a big enough sample size over the past few seasons to know that there can be changes and additions and subtractions, but the Bengals just have the Titans' number.
So, then wouldn't we have to say they have better players? If we're saying that the Titans did this to themselves, that the Titans just made mistakes,
which
then the Titans should be able to go out there. Again, if the first round of the playoffs is Cincinnati here, and let's just be frank, it's going to be one of five teams. It's either going to be Cincinnati, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Dolphins, or the Bills. It's going to be one of those five teams in here for the wild card round. Let's say it's Cincinnati. You got a 20% chance that it's Cincinnati again. And we're saying, well, they did this to themselves. They lost themselves the game on Sunday, and yet we're all going to pick Cincinnati now. So then we don't have faith in the Titans and not screwing it up again if they play Cincinnati.
I guess so. Yeah. And then I guess would both things be true on a more macro perspective of the Bengals just have tougher, better players than the Titans? But in this one specific instance, the Titans had the opportunity to win that game. The Titans had three opportunities to win that game that they didn't take. So I think both things can be true.
See, I just don't know. Like, I understand the opportunities.
In this one specific instance.
The fact that the Titans didn't score the two touchdowns that they should have scored. You know, that, yes.
That's how you lose games.
But on top of it, like, let's go back to the hitting the snapper in the head. If they don't hit the snapper in the head, they get the ball back down seven with 1:57 to go and no timeouts. You feel confident the Titans are going to score a touchdown there?
I really don't.
So that's where I'm like, you know, and then this goes back to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defensive line, I talked about it with TD on the pregame show on Sunday. I talked about it on Friday. Like, that's a really good defensive line. And Bob will tell us what the tape showed, but they dominated the Titans' offensive line. You're telling me that, okay, the Titans struggled in the red zone. Well, how much of that? I mean, Cincinnati ran the ball from the 7-yard line, ran it in for a touchdown with a backup running back. You know, that physical dominance, was that an accident? I mean, Derrick Henry didn't run the ball well against them last year in the playoffs. Now he's coming off the broken foot. But I guess I'm a little torn here. And maybe we're not giving Cincinnati's roster its due. We certainly don't give Cincinnati's quarterback his due. Because I was telling somebody today, he's as good as he's as good as Mahomes. He's as good as Allen. He's as good as all of them. And every time that they play the Titans, there was a certain sense of urgency when they played Mahomes on defense, and a certain sense of urgency when they played Rodgers on defense. And they didn't have that same sense of urgency against Joe Burrow. And I'm telling you, that dude, it would not shock me if he found his way back to the Super Bowl. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your reaction to that. 615-737-1025. And I guess it's a two-part question. One, do you think the Titans just screwed up on Sunday? Or do you think that the Bengals are just better than them? And two, If the playoffs were to start today, Cincinnati would be the team that would come in here again. How do you feel about playing Cincinnati again? 615-737-1025. Plus, Joe Burrow said something that I heard that I just honestly, I mean, I almost dropped my pants for Joe Burrow when I heard this. It was that dude, I mean, there's a part of me that hates the fact that he's going to be tormenting the Titans clearly for like the next 15 years. There's also a part of me that's like, man, he's a stud. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. And now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code JGM. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props, and you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you'll get paid your winnings quickly, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with the promo code JGM for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code JGM. And make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only refund issues, non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Defense! Everybody gets a game ball.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 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 Their lead back, 17 carries for 38 yards. Yeah. I saw tip balls, I saw sacks, I saw Mike Hilton jumping in there for tip balls. It doesn't matter whose number was called. Everybody on that defense stepped up to the plate. That was awesome. Offense, everybody gets game ball. Last 8 weeks, they haven't given up over 100 yards rushing. You guys got over 100 yards rushing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we played the style of game we needed to play today, okay? And I'm not leaving out special teams. You guys get game balls too.
Special teams, great job of getting that field goal kicker to miss a 35-yard kick. And a great job to get them to hit the snapper in the head. Way to go.
Special teams.
Everybody gets a game ball.
Like Oprah, you get a game ball. You get a game ball.
This was an everybody gets a game ball game for Cincinnati. Now, that being said, if the playoffs were to start today, the Titans would host the Bengals at Nissan Stadium in the opening round of the playoffs. All three of us have said if that were to come to pass, we would all pick the Bengals.
I don't want any part of the Bengals in the playoffs.
Let me tell you something. Joe Burrow. Boy, I tell you, I love this Joe Burrow. Every time I watch him play, I'm like, this freaking guy is so amazing.
I think you like Joe Burrow more than I like Joe Burrow, and I have a picture of Joe Burrow on my phone.
I might. So Joe Burrow was asked about, you know, I guess like, you know, is this the kind of game that good teams win or whatever? They played this on the Sunday Night Football pregame show, and even the Tony Dungy and Jason Garrett they were like, woo! This was Joe Burrow after the game on Sunday.
Is this the kind of game that successful playoff teams need to be able to win?
Yeah, this is the kind of game that great teams win. It's, you know, it's not always going to be pretty. This is the NFL. You're playing really, really good teams on the opposing end. It's not going to be pretty all the time, but, you know, you got to find ways to win, and, you know, we're starting to do that.
Oh, I want no piece of that guy. That guy, I said this yesterday. I thought I was going to get a bunch of people that flipped out when I said this. I see John Elway with him. I think he is, he's not as mobile as Elway because of the knee. But although then again, I guess against the Titans, he was running all over the place. I see him as Elway and a Herbert as Marino. I love them both. I'd rather have Elway. And I love Elway.
Oh, I'd much
Elway.
Rather have Pro over Herbert, 100%.
I love Elway, which then, like, is Tua Jim Kelly. You know, Tua's probably not as good as Jim Kelly. But
we can go down this rabbit hole.
That's, you know, you can go back to 1983. But, boy, I tell you, Joe Burrow, I want no part of him in a playoff rematch. Right now, how many teams would you rather play? Again, if the playoffs started today, the Titans would have to play Cincinnati. And we've said this. There's five teams. I guess technically six if we want to count the Jets. I don't. So I think it's either going to be Buffalo, Miami, Cincinnati, Baltimore, or the Chargers. that would come in here. The Titans will either be the 3 seed or the 4 seed, and one of those teams will either be the 5 seed or the 6 seed. My number one choice would be the Chargers, even though I love Herbert.
Yeah, I would go Chargers.
Ravens.
Dolphins.
It's probably fair, but the Dolphins are explosive. I don't know what to make of the Dolphins. The Dolphins, I guess I don't know what to make of the Dolphins for one really, really big reason.
What?
I don't watch them.
I guess that's
so fair. Like, it's really hard for me. I mean, okay, let's just go around the room, okay, just for fun. Titans, Chargers, Nissan Stadium, playoff game. Who are you picking?
Titans.
Okay, Ian. Majority rules. Ian?
Titans, probably.
I think I'd pick the Titans, too. I just think the coaching gap would be... I mean, I think the Titans are going to go to L.A. and beat the Chargers in a couple of weeks. So, we'll say Titans. Titans, Ravens, Nissan Stadium, wild card weekend. Who are you taking?
Ooh, I lean Baltimore.
Ian?
I don't know. Ravens struggling a little bit right now. I think I might actually lean the Titans slightly.
I'm going to go Ravens. Just because I just don't trust the Titans right now.
I think it'd be an interesting game, though.
Titans, Dolphins, Nissan Stadium in a playoff game. Who are you taking?
Titans.
Ian?
I don't know what. Titans.
So I'm a little surprised by that. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was. That one's really close. I have a feeling Waddle and Hill might.
Yeah.
Might. I don't know. That would be tough. They'd have to get a lot of pressure on Tua.
Oh, they'd have to make Tua's life miserable. That's the only way they could win that game.
And I know this was a Tyreek Hill-less Dolphins last year, but I just think back to how well Tannehill played against the Dolphins last year and how awful he plays against the Bengals. Like, I feel like the Dolphins are the antithesis of the Bengals to Ryan Tannehill.
I thought Tannehill played great on Sunday. I thought he played great.
But he has a bugaboo against the Bengals.
But what did Tannehill not do right on Sunday?
He was fine on Sunday.
I thought he was
great. It was everybody else around him on Sunday.
I thought he was excellent. Other than the missing Robert Woods out of the backfield, he still threw the ball to Chig. Chig needs to catch it. It wasn't a great throw. Chig needs to – you get your hands on the ball, you need to catch it.
I thought he was fine.
I thought Tannehill was – I thought he was – I mean, not perfect, but I thought – you know what's funny?
What?
Joe Burrow's quarterback rating was 97 even. Tannehill was
96 something.
No, I want to say Tannehill was like 97.1. So Tannehill technically was 91 even. Tannehill was 91.7. So Tannehill was a higher rated passer on Sunday than Burrow. Now, I'm not saying Tannehill played a better
Joe
game.
Burrow over
but
Tannehill.
I'm saying, like, I don't think
but
Tannehill's got
I
a Bengals. I don't think he's got a Bengals thing up his tush. I just, you know, because I think he played well yesterday. But I would take the Dolphins. So what is that? Did you guys both pick Titans, right?
We both picked the Titans.
All right, I picked the Dolphins. Bills.
Bills.
Bills. Bengals. We all picked Bengals.
Bengals.
So basically, they need to get
either
the Chargers,
or
the
Dolphins.
And even then, I don't feel good about Dolphins.
Or Chargers. I don't feel great about the Chargers either.
I feel fine about the Chargers.
And Ravens is kind of iffy. Ravens would be a tricky game.
The Ravens are a one-man team. But the one man beat the Titans 2 years ago in a playoff game. And the only way the Titans mustered any points in that game was with A.J. Brown. And I don't care what Twitter says today about how Treylon Burks is better than A.J. Brown, which is, you know, we'll probably dive real deep into that at some point this week, probably tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. but I just don't – I don't know. I would pick the Ravens. I would. And not only that, you know, let's be honest. With almost all these teams, but especially with the Ravens and the Bengals, the mismatch at kicker is an issue. The fact that the Titans can't kick and that those
teams. The Ravens are the best kicker in the league.
The best kicker ever. The guy almost drilled a 67-yarder to win it. I had to do the math when I watched him kick, and I was like 50, 60. 70, 70, 69, 67-yard kick. I mean, so, and the Titans can't hit a 35-yarder.
He was just short on that, too, wasn't he?
Just short.
I mean, that was
and he was mad because he was like, I know I can hit it.
That's even the difference with the Bengals, too.
Oh, hell yes.
The fact that Evan McPherson could go out there and hit a 47-yarder, and if the Titans ever did that, I would be shaking in my boots.
I mean, the Titans kicking is so bad. That it is, I had a guy yesterday that was like, you know, take it easy on an old buddy out there that missed the 35-yarder. It was his first game in the NFL. I'm like, it was 35 yards. High school kids can kick 35 yarders.
You need to hit 35 yarders.
It was 35 yards.
We've already determined it was the wind gust.
Here comes Caleb Shudak out there for his first ever kick out here in the NFL. No, I guess he already made one before
that.
Here's Caleb Shudak out there to make his second ever kick. This one should be easy, Bob, because it's from 35 yards. He lines it up. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick's on the way. Whoosh! And somehow ended it up in section 219. I don't know how it got there, but it did.
He's not the first ever NFL kicker to miss a 35-yard field goal.
How many other, I mean, I'm talking about like your first crack at an opportunity and you miss a 35-yarder because a lot of guys.
I mean, it's pretty brutal. Miss,
if you
second
don't have
crack
any
at
resume,
an opportunity.
If you don't have any resume and in your first game you come out there, it's not like he was the Groza winner. I don't think he was. Was he the Groza winner?
I don't think so.
It's not like he was a first round, you know, Sebastian Janikowski out of Florida State. He goes up there to kick that ball and he's got no resume and he's 5'5" and he's going to kick it. And he misses a 35-yarder.
Yeah,
I don't know
bad.
If guys get second chances oftentimes. Now, the Titans are going to roll with him because Vrabel, boy, he's defending his 35-yarder.
Well, kickers are a position that you cannot afford a second chance. That second chance could be in the Super Bowl.
Except the Titans have cut all these kickers that have been bad for them over the years, and they all are on other teams kicking right now. And nobody ever wants to look at the special teams coach. The special teams coach, I tell you, with the Titans, I mean, I made the joke yesterday, and I stand by it. Like, instead of telling the Titans that they should fire the special teams coach after all these years of bad special teams, I think I'm going to go to the mayor. And I think I'm going
to
be like, hey.
I want to go to the mayor.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, hey, you should tell the Titans that the $1.2 billion for the new stadium, the most taxpayer money ever in the history of stadiums, that the $1.2 billion is contingent on getting a new special teams coach.
A new stadium is contingent on the special teams coach.
Mm-hmm. Shudak did not win the Lou Groza Award winner, but you know who did?
Hold on, let me guess.
What year?
In 2011.
Shudak is like 50 years old? How is he 50 years old?
No, I said Shudak hasn't, but you know who did in 2011. Randy.
Oh, fat boy.
Randy Bullock.
Randy Bullock.
Yeah.
Hey! Randy. The glory days in 2011.
Could he kick over 50 then? Probably not. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phone. 615-737-1025. Plus the Titans with a under-the-radar transaction today. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Again, we are live today at Bridgestone Arena where they've got a game tonight against the Anaheim Ducks at 7 o'clock. Hey, play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Well, what you figured is, as far as your role here, Robert, this year, is this the kind of season you expected? I mean, you had a little bit of a hand in trying to come here as well. Is this about what you signed up for?
Yeah, I would say we're winning and contending for playoffs.
As far as the offense goes, what do you like about what you've done? What are some things that have got to get better? Maybe if you guys did kind of hit your stride here down the stretch.
I would say these are like off-season questions. We're still in the mix. There's a lot of football left. We got to go and win these games and get after them. We got Philadelphia this week. We got to get a win. We're trying to get in playoffs, trying to go to the Super Bowl. We're doing whatever it takes to win these games.
Those are off-season questions, Robert Woods says. And then Robert Woods, that was yesterday, today, creates $2.6 million in salary cap space for the Titans by reworking his deal. And apparently, word on the street is, you know, this is just some insurance money just if they got to sign some more people like the Mario Edwards and the Andrew Adams and the, you know, the guys that you've never heard of that come in here, and then some of them are good and some of them are terrible. And so that's just, you know, creating a little flexibility there. But according to Paul Kaharsky, and I could have looked this up today, but I was glad Paul did this because then I didn't have to do it.
Yep.
The move leaves $2.2 million in dead cap money for next year. Robert Woods essentially had no dead cap money through the next 2 years, which I believe he signed, not just this year, but the next two after. And so there's a little bit of dead cap money, which is usually a sign that maybe they want Robert Woods on the team next year. What did we make of the Robert Woods move today?
I think the interesting thing is not the cap space this year, because we're going to go out and make a trade.
Well, they could sign somebody
off of a practice squad, I know, but I don't think it's any sort of big time move in the works for $2.6 million.
Somebody could be released. You know, like somebody on a bad team could get released.
Yeah.
And then the Titans could sign them to a deal in which is backloaded to next year. And so then
sign them to like $2 million this year.
And think about what the prorated portion of $2 million for this year is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So there is, you know, in theory, you know, there's a way that they could be doing something with that money. But I tend to agree with you. It's probably not about anything for this year. Here's my thought on this. I don't care. The salary cap is fake. And this is a perfect example of how it's fake.
Well, I think it's less about the salary cap money that was freed up this year. And I think it's more so about the Robert Woods contract.
What's $2.2 million in dead cap money?
Nothing.
And so, again, the money is real. You know, like if next year, if they have to front load, if they have to restructure a bunch of contracts in order to create cap space for next season to go out and get free agents, and then they give those guys big signing bonuses, the free agents that they sign, and then, you know, those cap numbers balloon over the later part. I mean, that those checks are real now. Like, if somebody getting a signing bonus, that is real money.
That is coming out of Amy's wallet.
The owner has to pay for that. But as far as, like, you know, will Robert Woods be on the team next year, or the Titans are up against the cap for next year, and I don't care about that stuff anymore. They can always make it however they want.
The cap is, I mean,
fake.
And this is proof that it is, that all they have to do is restructure a deal and boom, poof.
To the Batmobile!
$2 million.
And there it is. And there's the deal.
Have you been watching Batman recently?
No, I just, you know, yesterday I just thought about it when I was talking to somebody about Todd Downing, so it just came up. Regardless, I would say that, you know, because people are like, oh, they're going to be up against the cap next year, and they're gonna cut LaJuan. They're going to cut Dupree. That's going to, you know, offer up a huge chunk of money. They'll have contracts they can redo. They'll have other guys to cut. I do think they could still cut Robert Woods. I mean, I think Robert Woods needs to earn his keep a little bit for next season because he's dropping the ball too much. Dropped the ball on Sunday on a big second down.
It's so, almost like death taxes. Robert Woods has to drop at least a single pass every single game.
He's dropping it too much. 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have, Caroline?
Our friend Indy Ben Texan says Sunday's game showed how important Autry is to the Titans. Without him, you don't have nearly as potent of a pass rush outside of Simmons just caving in the interior offensive line on occasion. Dupree is and has been a product of what is around him, dating back to Pittsburgh, and has trouble generating sacks on his own. On offense, the blueprint has been out of Tennessee for some time. As for the most part, Tannehill can't carry the offense on his shoulders.
I don't think Tannehill was not the problem. Let's address the Autry thing here first. If I have to hear about, well, you know, the problem was they didn't have the Nico Autry and Ben Jones. It's like, well, they didn't have Joe Mixon or Ja'Marr Chase. And if you get to the playoffs, and let's say we know the Titans are going to the playoffs, and let's say it is, I don't know, the Bengals in the playoffs. A, those guys are going to be back. And B, more importantly, not only are those guys going to be back, but there's going to be other guys that are out. So, you know, oh, well, right now, this is out. Well, Treylon Burks gets hurt, or Derrick Henry gets hurt, or Kevin Byard gets hurt, or whatever, and you have to overcome it. Jayon Brown had his shoulder pop out. When the Titans were going for the playoffs in 2019, they ended up in the AFC Championship game because they put David Long Jr. in there, and David Long Jr. played well. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the whole, like, well, Danico Autry wasn't there, and I love Danico Autry. I am the president of the Danico Autry fan club, and I like Ben Jones fine. But the idea of, like, well, you know, those two guys, it's too much to overcome. Well, then I hope not one person gets hurt in the playoffs if you want to try to win the Super Bowl, because football, there are going to be guys that are hurt. You just have to hope that it's not like your quarterback. If you're Kansas City, you hope it's not Travis Kelce. But I do not want to hear the loser talk about Autry and Ben Jones not being in there when the other team didn't have Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase. And no one's saying, well, you know, Cincinnati, they can't throw the ball without Ja'Marr Chase. Did you see that throw? We don't talk about this enough. That throw, A, it was a beautiful throw by Burrow. The catch that Vrabel challenged by that Irwin that I've never heard of in my life.
Yes.
What a freaking catch.
What a
freaking catch. And that's a throw for Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that is Joe Burrow telling that guy that I've never heard of. I think his name's Tyler Irvin. Hold on, let's see. I got right in front of me. It is Irwin. Tyler Irwin. That is Joe Burrow saying, I am going to throw you Ja'Marr Chase's ball. And he did, and he caught it. And Vrabel challenged it. What's next?
Josh Texan says the Titans' record tells you all that you need to know. This roster, even with Vrabel's coaching, can beat the bad teams but can't compete with the good ones. The only team they've beaten with a winning record is Washington.
That is concerning. And Washington had Carson Wentz when that happened. I talked about this, the strength of victory stat.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the AFC, strength of victory is a tie-breaking stat that, honestly, I think we should use for college football more than we use strength of schedule. You know, college football, it's like, you know, they've got the 19th strength of schedule and they've got the 14th strength of schedule. And, like, Vandy always has the number one strength of schedule because they play everybody in the SEC except
Alabama
for Vandy.
And Georgia.
Yeah, they play everybody except for themselves. So everybody else in the SEC plays them, and they don't get to play themselves, so their strength of schedule is always the highest. Well, strength of victory is, hey, I know you play the Chiefs, but it doesn't count because you lost. And I kind of like that. You know, it's more about who you beat. And so strength of victory for the Titans is by far the worst of any AFC contender at 36%. Most of the AFC is about 45, 46, 47%, which is a hat tip to the fact that the Titans have truly beaten nobody. And the only encouraging thing that I can say about this team as far as contending is concerned is that they almost beat the Chiefs.
With a backup quarterback.
And that becomes more depressing the further away we get from it and the Titans not winning any more games. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. Plus, my respect for the coaching profession was saved last night. We'll get to that. Stillman & Company, live from Bridgestone Arena, 1025-1063 The Game.
On first down, Ryan is in trouble and sacked. Brought down by Highsmith. The ball came out, and Big Will Fries is on top of it for Indianapolis. Gonna go back to the spot of the fumble.
Yeah.
As we're inside 2 minutes, and it was Highsmith who knocked it out.
Well, there's a running clock, too. I mean, the Colts are burning up a lot of time right now with all their timeouts, and yet Ryan is letting it roll.
A loss of 7 on that play, and we are down to 1 minute left. Second and 17, and Ryan right up the gut. Dives short of the first down, and they have got to take a timeout here, I would imagine. But they're not.
Wow.
And it's third down. Under 40 to go. They hand off. They don't get it. Play made by Highsmith. It's fourth down. And finally, a timeout taken by Indianapolis.
No, you don't know how much comes into play with, I know Jeff Saturday's got to have some people upstairs helping him. You know, a conscious decision that they're going to let the clock run, feel that they have Pittsburgh on their heels.
I mean, Troy Aikman's like, I know Jeff Saturday's got some people up in the booth helping him out, but I don't know why he's calling timeout. Let me say this. The Steelers won last night in what was kind of an entertaining game, kind of a depressing game. You know, it was like a little bit of both.
It was depressing because we had to, again, watch two crap teams play each other
I don't
on
problem
national
with that.
TV.
Don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, you do.
You're
the one who always whines about watching the Lions on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but that's different. The Lions, you know, are a depressing franchise. These are entertaining franchises. But let me tell you this. I said at the very end of yesterday's show that my entire respect for the coaching profession was riding on last night's Colts-Steelers game. Because everybody always tells me that Mike Tomlin is a great coach. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record. Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin's this. Mike Tomlin's that.
Especially on Monday night.
Well, if they can pull old buddy off of TV and he can go 2-1 as a head coach in the NFL, I mean, it's one thing to beat the Raiders. They stink, and that coach is, you know, terrible, and it's awful and whatever. But if they can pull old buddy off TV and he can beat the Raiders, lose by a point to the best team in the league, and then beat the Steelers and this great coach, then I was done with taking the coaching profession as a serious expertise ever again. Because then from that point on, I was just going to say, well, anybody can do that. Because, you know, people get on me about talking about Jeff Saturday, and they say, well, you say Jeff Saturday has no experience. But Jeff Saturday has all the experience that he got when he played. And I'm like,
so different.
That would be like saying, well, he never went to medical school. He's never been in residency. He never was a fellow. But he has had a bunch of heart attacks, so he's basically a cardiologist. Like, that's what that's saying.
Maybe not exactly the same.
And if Jeff Saturday was winning against Mike Tomlin when both teams were kind of even, If Jeff Saturday won that game yesterday, then I told somebody yesterday, I said, you know, because Coach Shoup's coming here at 3 o'clock. I said, you know who's going to get the brunt of that? Coach Shoup. Because I will never take another coach seriously.
He doesn't deserve that.
And it was all binary.
Don't you do that to him.
I was never going to take another coach seriously ever again. Because you know these football coaches, they're like, oh, I'm, you know, coaching. Nobody understands. We spend 19 hours a day getting ready for practice and scheming and watching the practice tape and breaking it down. And nobody in the world could do these jobs except for us. And we're making $9 million a season to do these jobs. And I'd be like, man, you guys, I'd go pay my coach $100,000 because I could just go get him off TV and put him on the sidelines. But guess what? The Steelers won.
Steelers did win.
And that restored my faith in coaching. And not only that, the Steelers won, not because of, but I'd say in large part, because Jeff Saturday proved at the end of the game last night that he doesn't know how to coach. Because you could hear Aikman and Buck on the call, like, is he going to call the timeout? What's he going to do? So, my faith in the coaching profession was restored last night. And I hadn't lost it, but I said that, you know, it was riding single-handedly on that game.
But ever since Brandon Staley entered the league, I think your faith in the coaching profession has been wavering. No.
I mean, I think there are dumb coaches out there, just like I think there are dumb coaches in the SEC, and I think
there
are smart coaches.
But they at least have experience coaching.
But I think there's dumb people in everything. Like, I think there's dumb people in every line of work. And I think there are dumb people that work on your car. I think there are dumb people that are your doctors. I think there are dumb people that are your radio hosts. I think there are dumb people that are your coaches. I think there's dumb people in everything. And I think that the smart people usually outperform the dumb people. But if Jeff Saturday, with no experience, is outperforming Mike Tomlin,
that's a problem.
Now we got, now it just doesn't, now it doesn't matter. You know, then I was going to turn into like, you know, what Clay Travis has done, you know, with Dr. Fauci, right? Where it's like every day he's like, that guy, he doesn't know anything about anything. And it's like, I mean, you may disagree with him on some stuff, but he's been a doctor doing this for like 50 years. So he's got a little experience. That's how I was going to view coaching, which is, hey, you might have been coaching for 50 years. Doesn't matter to me because Jeff Saturday comes off the street. But they lost. So with that, my faith in the coaching profession is restored. What do we have in the text line? 615-737-1025.
One texter texts in and says, Tannehill needs to learn how to call audibles when we're about to run Henry into 9 guys in the box.
Tannehill, all I know is this. According to the crowd mic from CBS, there was a play that they ran with Derrick Henry on the left side where Tannehill yelled out and said, nickel, 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 nickel. And I don't know exactly what that meant, but I assume that it has to do with the idea that the nickel was going to blitz, if I had to make an assumption, and nobody picked up the nickel and he tackled Derrick Henry in the backfield. Not to say that that was the only check Tannehill made or that that makes everything that Tannehill did on Sunday effective, but Tannehill did yell and scream about the nickel, and nobody did anything about it, unless I guess he's going to go block the nickel. I can't put that on him. I thought Tannehill... Again, Bob watch tape. Bob, you know, this will be the most objective we can get. I thought Tannehill played a game Sunday. And I think people need to remember that. Even me. We know how hard I've been on Tannehill. I thought Tannehill played a good game Sunday.
Tannehill played a fine game, but he can't win a game himself. When Derrick Henry's averaging, 1.7 yards per carry?
Here's what's crazy.
He cannot win a game with the ball in his hands.
If the Titans don't hit the snapper, and yes, if the Titans make their field goals, and if the Titans can get off the, you know, like, I mean, this is going to sound crazy. There's a chance that Tannehill could have beaten Joe Burrow, and the Titans just held it back.
But if
Tom Brady can't do anything if the guy hits the snapper.
If the Titans, I know I hear you, but if the Titans don't hit the snapper and they make that field goal, they're still down a point.
They're still down by 4 points because they would have
kicked that field goal. So it would have
been
23-19.
So the ball's in Tannehill's hands. And now the question has to be, can Tannehill drive them down the field and score? Now, let me tell you this. Not to say, you know, one way or another way, but no matter what they would have done one way or another, right? Like, if they had gotten the ball back and scored a touchdown, which I don't think would have happened.
I don't think that would have happened, but also,
I would have gone
knows?
For two. I would have gone for two. And you know I hate that.
Why?
Because I'm not giving Joe Burrow the ball back.
But, I mean, realistically, so they would have gotten the ball back with,
157
left on
and
the clock.
And they would have had to score a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And then...
So how much time do you think realistically would have been on the clock? 20 seconds, 30 seconds?
Right, which is why I'm going for two. I'm down by seven.
Uh-huh.
I score a touchdown.
Yes.
That's six. I go for two with 20 seconds. Joe Burrow gets the ball back, has to throw a Hail Mary to beat me. If I kick the extra point, Joe Burrow gets the ball back in overtime.
But they wouldn't have been down by seven because they would have hit that field goal. So it would have been 24-19.
The Titans would have been down seven.
How?
Oh, you're right. You didn't know four. But I'm just talking about, forget about that. I'm talking about they didn't hit the snapper. So the Titans get the ball back down seven, score, I would have gone for two.
Okay.
Because I don't want Joe Burrow with the ball. Bob Shoot broke the tape down. The all 22. Why did the Titans lose? Did the Bengals have better players? Is Joe Burrow just that much better? Did the Titans coaches screw it up? Did the Titans players screw it up? We are looking for who to blame. And so Bob will break all that down for us coming up next. Stillman & Company, we are live from Bridgestone Arena. Again, the Preds tonight, 7 o'clock against the Anaheim Ducks, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.